edition of the Square and the Round podcast is afoot. I'm Chris Kelly. I'm Square. There's BB Shea. He's Round.
How are you, man?
Just back from the United States Open.
Yes, sir. Feeling it today.
Yeah.
Feeling it.
Feeling yourself.
No, I'm rough, dude.
Oh,
I feel
rough.
Bad. I'm terrible, man.
Did you do what we thought you could do and go out early and walk the entire course behind folks who were not in contention and then sit and wait for the leaders to come through?
Yes, sort of.
It takes a lot out of you.
Yes, it does. I disappointed a lot of people.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Well, I do that a lot.
I do.
I know what that feeling is like.
You know, I was very excited about going, and I just want to say I had a great time, had a blast.
Yeah.
Yes, we got there at about 7:30 yesterday morning. No. A few days ago, whenever it was.
Yes.
And walked the entire course, followed Martin Keimer, the 2014 U.S. Open winner, and Sepp Straka, followed them throughout the entire course, watched it, loved it.
Yep.
And, you know, we sat at the 16 green and watched some people come in, and went to the 18th green and watched some people come in. And it was about 2 o'clock. Jordan Spieth was on the 18th green. And from the 18th green, you can look over and you can see the first tee box. Tony Finau was teeing off. He was the second to last group.
Right.
And I looked at my dad, looked at my brother, and we all realized we're going to be here for another 5 to 6 hours.
That's right. They're just teeing off.
So we went home.
You didn't see.
I did not see maybe the best finish in recent history of golf majors. No.
You didn't see.
I saw it.
On TV.
At the house.
Back at the house.
Back at the house.
You watched Rory miss the... I was looking for you in the crowd.
I know. I did. I saw Rory miss the putt from the house.
I
was right there. I was on the 18th green.
I was looking for you.
Yeah.
I didn't start watching until 3 o'clock.
I know. I was at the house at 3 o'clock.
This is the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, man. I got home and I had people texting me who I had talked to.
Oh, my God.
And they were like, oh, my God, this is crazy.
This is the greatest U.S. Open.
I'm like, I'm at the house, bro.
You left
it. I'm at home.
You know, when people started obnoxiously cheering USA, USA, everyone thought that your dad was leading that chant. You told us the other day that your dad hates it when these lousy, stinking foreigners come over here and win the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
So when people started chanting USA, which was a complete, just a slap in Rory's.
Terrible thing to do.
Terrible look.
Very out of bad taste.
I thought he was going to have a big shirt on that said, BB Shea's dad, no filthy foreigner wins my tournament. Unbelievable.
No, I was
you
at the house.
See it.
You know, I'm not going to lie, man. I'm a little disappointed. I'm half and half disappointed. That I left. Like, it would have been cool, but I'm not mad at the same time. Because it was hot.
Oh, yeah.
Those seats are uncomfortable.
Oh, yes.
I was dead tired. And watching it from the recliner was nice. I'm not going to lie.
Well, that's the whole thing. I've heard my brother-in-law went to the Masters this year. I've never been to that. He went to the Masters Sunday.
Yeah.
And he said, if I had to do over again, I'd go on Thursday or maybe Friday. Then I like to watch the final, you know, back at home where you can see it.
Yes. And I think our biggest mistake was getting there too early.
I suggested that.
Yeah. And I know. And it's not a bad idea because when we got to walk the course when there was nobody
right,
there.
Yeah.
And
saw
it was a beautiful course.
Yeah.
And it was such a cool thing to see. But if we would have gotten there about the time we left, it would have been a completely different situation.
Well, I went one. Well, I've been a couple of times, but in 99 when they played it at Pinehurst, I saw the Payne Stewart. I was on the 18th green for that. You can see my big head in some photos. If you look closely when they show it from a certain angle, you can see my, because my big head's above everybody else's.
Yeah.
And you can see, and that's, you know, where he did the famous with the statue, which was referenced a lot this week by DeChambeau. Mm-hmm. But I got so lucky because we went on Sunday, and it was 60 degrees and just a mist in the air the entire. I mean, he was wearing a jacket, you know. He was.
Yeah. No, it was 90.
I know.
And the sun was coming. I mean, it felt good sometimes, but we were on the 18th green going, we're going to be here for another 6 hours.
That's right.
And we were just like, plus the day before, I helped my friend move all day. So I was dead from that.
Oh, you did.
And then I came, and then I walked all that.
Yes.
Like, 20,000 steps yesterday.
Oh, you walked 20,000.
Yeah.
How long do you think it'll be before you take your next 20,000 steps? I've been taking a month.
You know, it's funny. I was looking at my chart on my phone.
Do you have that step
thing? It was like the last time I had 20,000 steps was like 2018, I think.
Yeah. Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, you haven't reached this yeah. milestone in a long time.
You know, recently, I know a woman. This is more about health. You know how they tell you to walk 10,000 steps yeah. a day or whatever? This thing we're doing now, there's a challenge. I go to the gym with this woman, and there's a challenge to drink more water. Like, that's the thing. Or, you know, more mindfulness and no screen time and that kind of stuff, you know, late before yeah. bed. And she, one day they were harping on water, and she goes, you know, we're about the same age. She goes, in the 80s, nobody gave a rat's ass about water. We're all fine. She's like, water. Who cares?
I mean, I'm not mad at her. It's a good point.
I heard you're a person who won't wear a sunscreen.
I do not wear sunscreen. I'm not gonna lie. I feel like you're kind of a wussy if you wear sunscreen.
What about the skin cancer thing?
Vitamin D is good for you. Nobody wore sunscreen in the 80s. Look at us. We're all fine.
Well, that's what she would have yes. said. That's what my friend would have said, is we didn't give a rat's ass no. about sunscreen or water in the 80s, and we're all fine. Well, those of us that are still here.
Exactly.
I mean, there are yeah. some that...
I mean, look, I
you're
mean,
pretty
I got,
pasty.
I got a nice base
going. But you going. Did all right.
Yeah.
And you were out there. Well, you did have cloud cover on
the... True. And,
on,
you know, there are a lot of trees. But, I mean, I was in the
you
sun.
You were in the elements.
Yeah.
You never put on sunscreen.
I never put on sunscreen. I couldn't... I don't think I've ever applied it to myself.
Really?
Yes.
You've never applied sunscreen?
I don't think I have. It's funny. Every time I play golf multiple times a week.
You don't put it on?
No. Really? My friends all the time are like, hey, here's sunscreen. I'm like, I'm good. No worries.
You know, have you read this conspiracy theory that it's, I don't know if you've read this. The conspiracy theory is that the sunscreen itself is what's causing the skin
cancer.
That's
my theory.
That's your theory.
That's my theory, yes.
You think that the stuff in the sunscreen... Yeah. And that big sunscreen has convinced us now that it's good for you, but really it causes the cancer that keeps them in business.
There were no cavemen dying of skin cancer back in the day, at least reports of it.
How do we
There
know?
Were no hieroglyphs of
how
skin
do we know?
Cancer.
You know, I'm not sure. A lot of dermatologists are disagreeing. They're saying, no, you must put on sunscreen.
I like the lady you were talking about. I like her way of thinking. It's sort of the truth.
She's very no-nonsense.
Yes.
And she'll say, we never gave two craps about drinking bottled water, enough water. Sunscreen, none of that stuff. Well, bottled water, I can't believe it's an industry. I mean, when I was growing up, the first time you saw a bottle of water, it was like, who is this idiot with a boat that paid for water?
Yeah.
It comes right out of the tap for free.
True.
And, you know.
But now it's proven that most tap waters are just as bad for you. I mean, look at, you know, God bless Flint, Michigan, and their water that they have to deal with. I mean, they're probably happy there's a
bottled water
industry.
Of course.
Yeah.
But I think Flint, Michigan is... A tiny
it's an
percentage.
Outlier.
I believe that any water you get out of a tap is pretty good. You know, here, where most places.
But
I
they
think
put fluoride in the water.
You're against fluoride,
I'm
too.
I'm against fluoride,
you
too.
Said that a couple of weeks ago, that you're anti-fluoride.
I'm anti-fluoride.
They do put fluoride in the water. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. But we drink it out of the... My wife has said, we're not spending on bottled water. We buy it for guests and stuff.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we just drink right out of the tap.
You get city water or well water?
Well water.
Same.
I like that better.
Yeah. But
I feel like well water's cleaner.
Yeah, you're right. I got well water, thankfully.
Yes.
But, you know, I still drink bottled water.
Although, well, I mean, I'll drink it, of course. But now we're at home. We don't drink it. We go to the tap and fill up a glass of water.
Who's got the best bottled water?
I can't, you know, people ask, I can't tell a difference between the bottled waters.
I know,
Aquafina and Dasani are the ones. And the, I mean,
those are terrible. I hate those.
Costco brand. And
oh, I got
that.
You.
But what do you can't
I
tell
like a Smart Water.
You can't tell
I like
a difference.
A Fiji.
You really think
but then
a
the Liquid Death is the best.
I know
of the
your
best.
Liquid Death
is the best
in the
of
can.
The best, yeah.
You think there's a difference between
absolutely
Smart Water versus Aquafina?
I can taste the difference. Yes.
I'd challenge you to that.
You could put me to the challenge.
And have you done this before where you could taste the difference between waters?
Absolutely.
And you've passed that test.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought so. How about this challenge? All right. I have one for you.
All right.
Do you think you could do this?
Let me see. All right.
All right. On the radio show, we got an email from a guy named Kyle. Listens to the radio show.
All right.
He challenged anybody on it, and now I'm going to pass it to you.
Okay.
We were talking about competitive hot dog eating, the Nathan's Famous thing.
Yes, yeah.
Are you interested in that thing on Labor Day? Do you know this?
Oh, no. I'm so mad that they won't let Joey Chestnut
really
perform,
but
because he's the man, dude.
Yeah, but
he's got no loyalty to those people. To Nathan's or the Major League Eating.
But isn't the rule that if you are sponsored by a different hot dog company, you can't be on...
Is that a rule?
I think it is. That's the reason they're keeping him out, right?
Oh, I didn't know that was a rule. I thought they were just mad because he's making money.
Well, it might be. But I don't... If you're Nathan's Famous and Nathan's is all over the place, do you want somebody wearing a vegan hot dog t-shirt at your event?
Who said he was going to do that?
I think the vegan hot dog folks would probably demand that he does. That's what he's seen. That's the only time he's seen.
I mean, but is it like, wasn't there a thing, controversy with Michael Jordan wearing the Adidas at the
Nike. Yeah.
He Olympics.
When he went to the Olympics in 92 for the uniforms, the warm-up jerseys were made by Adidas. Mm. And of course he was all Nike.
Yeah.
So he covered up the logo and wore the warm-up jersey.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think he was necessarily going to wear a hot dog shirt for that company.
I don't know that for sure, but I would think if you're the vegan hot dog company, what is it called? Impossible?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
This is the day he is most seen. This is when the eyeballs, you'd want him to wear your gear on the day that he's on the biggest stage. And I'm sure Nathan's Famous is like, no, that's our number one competitor.
I mean, I get it. I just think that it's like them not inviting Caitlin Clark to be on the Olympics. Like, you're really going to shout out the one dude who people come to see?
Well, that
you know
I
why
understand.
People are there.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But there were people there before him.
There was Kobayashi. I mean, there's always been a big face.
Yes.
And without the big face, who are you going and rooting for?
Well, I mean, you say always. It started in 1924.
True.
You know, but, so I don't know. The only two I can name are Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. What they've done is, on Labor Day, on Netflix, there'll be a live hot dog competition between just those two.
Yeah.
Are you interested in that?
I'll probably watch it. Yeah. I think that would be a fun thing to watch them face off. Kobayashi may be a little old, dated. I don't think you'll be able to keep up, but I don't know. We'll see.
Kobayashi, has he ever beaten Chestnut? Chestnut beat him the one time
I don't think he's ever beat Chestnut.
I don't either.
So that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, Chestnut holds the record. Listen, before Chestnut, I thought there's nobody that'll ever touch Kobayashi.
Yeah.
And Chestnut became... I mean, they're talking a lot of hot dogs here lately. Here's the challenge now. The listener says, I heard you guys talking about competitive eating earlier this week. I would challenge anyone on your staff to do the 999 challenge with me. You've heard of this?
Mm-hmm.
You go to a baseball game, you eat 9 hot dogs, you drink 9 beers in 9 innings. Mm-hmm. I think one of you could probably do it. I'm going to lay down the gauntlet. Who's brave enough to do it? Would you do that?
I'm going to a baseball game in July, next month.
Yep.
I will try my best to do it.
Major League?
I will, yes. Denver versus San Francisco.
Rockies
in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
High altitude.
Yep.
9 beers, 9 hot dogs, 9 innings.
Yes.
Now, do you have to eat a hot dog and a beer an inning?
Yes.
Or can I backlog some?
Can't backlog. That's the thing. The challenge is, but you have the whole inning, the top and bottom half, to eat a hot dog and drink a beer every inning. So at the end of the second, you're going to be down 2 dogs and 2 beers.
Yes.
Now, here's the big challenge. If the Rockies are winning the game, they're the home team, then the top of the ninth is your last. You don't get the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
So you got to do the hot dog and the beer in the top half.
Does the hot dog have to have condiments on it?
No, I don't think
it does. It could be a plain hot dog.
I think it'd be a plain hot dog.
And a regular 16-ounce beer?
I think so. Don't you think you'd be drunk?
Yeah, probably. Especially in the high altitude.
Oh,
yeah,
I know.
Absolutely.
Which is the harder thing? Which do you think makes it more difficult, the hot dog or the beer?
I don't know. That's a good question. Probably just the combination of them both.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could eat 9 hot dogs over 9 innings. I don't think that's a problem.
Right.
Maybe the beer. Chugging the beer. Like getting the right beer to chug, I think would be the tough thing to do.
I was recently reading that beer adds so much calories. People don't even think about it. You know, the beer gut is a real thing.
Yeah,
you know,
no, it 100% is.
If you just cut out alcohol, most people, you're a lot better off.
Yeah.
You know, beer is something we enjoy.
Well, see, my brother and I, we were going to do the 18-18-18 challenge at the U.S. Open yesterday.
That is 18 beers, 18 holes?
Yes, 18 cigarettes. Yeah, 18 cigs, 18 beers on 18 holes, yeah.
But you don't smoke.
I know I don't smoke, but just, you know, it's a tribute to John Daly.
So you would do 18 cigarettes, 18 beers, and 18 holes.
Yeah,
you absolutely. Should do that while playing golf.
Definitely do that, yeah.
I've seen a guy do, I think he did 18 hot dogs and 18 beers and 18 holes.
That's heroic.
That's ridiculous.
That's double the 9.
Now, that's
yeah.
4 and a half hours that you have to do it. What's
true.
A baseball game? 3 hours.
Yeah.
3:15, but only 9.
I need to get some funding for this, too, by the way.
For the dogs?
For the 999, because that's going to be...
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money.
$3 hot dog, $5 beer.
I bet it's more than that. At a baseball game?
Yeah, probably.
I bet it's a $3 hot dog, $8 beer. You're probably talking about $120 to do it. Don't you think?
Yeah, easy.
Yeah. Normally,
I need some funding for this.
Well, normally if you're at a baseball game and you're just having hot dogs and beers, how many do you eat?
Three, four
hot dogs.
3-4 hot dogs, 4 beers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to an American Legion game one time. This was in Salisbury, North Carolina, Rowan County. And they were known to have great hot dogs there.
Yeah.
And I ate four as a kid. I was like 14. And yeah. God, I could eat anything. And I was eating hot dogs and drinking Cokes.
Yeah.
And it was glorious. And those hot dogs were outstanding. And I don't know what they did, but they were delicious. But
how much were the hot dogs then?
Oh, God, 50 cents.
That's
maybe.
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, they probably did, they were probably 75 cents a piece or like three for a dollar, something like that. You know, that's, or three for $2, something like that, is my guess how they did.
Okay. So I'm going to, I'm going to be there in about a month.
Yes.
So I'm going to start saving now. I'm going to put around my 999.
You really want to do it?
I'm going to do it. Now, I think another thing that you have to take into consideration is getting up, going to the concession stand, waiting in the line.
Uh-huh.
So I may have to go buy four or five hot dogs and beers at a time.
Yes.
But I had to just wait and eat them in the inning.
But they come around. I mean, they come like they'll
yeah,
come
that
around,
is true.
They'll you gotta, sell yeah. you a hot dog. So buy a couple of hot dogs and a couple of beers at a time. Uh-huh. And buy, buy them the second inning, go back and get another one.
Okay.
Get another two hot dogs. I would buy them probably two at a time and go four times to the concession stand.
Okay.
Or get them as you sit
there. I'm going to document this, and I'm going to do it.
What about your health?
That's shot anyway. I'm not worried about that right now.
You're a young man.
I'm a young boy. Yeah, I'm a growing boy.
I mean, I guess this. I think you're running out of time. If you're going to
You're right. This may be my last hurrah.
I think, what are you, 31?
31, yes. I'll still be 31 by the time that happens.
I think 35 is the absolute cutoff at this, don't you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, absolutely. That time is coming.
Agreed. Yeah, you can't do that anymore, I don't think. This is movie related. Switching from baseball and hot dogs and everything. Did you see that movie, Inside Out 2, made like $160 million at the box?
Did it?
Number one by far.
I know it was blowing up, but...
Why?
I didn't know it was... I mean...
What is so...
I don't know. I never saw the first one. And I know people loved the first one.
I saw it. I liked it. My kids were younger. Yeah. 2015 was when the first one came out, so my daughter was 7.
Yeah.
And we watched it, and I remember thinking, it's good.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was... But I looked... There's a ranking on Rotten Tomatoes of the top Pixar movies of all time. They rank like every Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Based on how many score it gets.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fourth overall.
No way.
Like a 98%.
Of all the Pixar movies.
Number one was Toy Story 2.
I would okay, yes.
What's your favorite Toy Story?
The first one.
I like the second one better.
I don't know. I like the second one. I don't think that first one's just a classic.
It's great.
Can't beat it.
That was the top two. Toy Story 2 was number one. Toy Story was number two.
Yeah.
Third may have been, I think it was Finding Nemo was third.
Okay. Lovely.
Nemo's great. The only one that didn't have a positive score was Cars 2, which is awful. It's terrible.
Yeah, that one. Cars 1 was amazing.
Cars 2. I loved Cars 1.
Our friend who works here actually asked me this question. Have you seen Shrek?
Yes.
Have you seen Toy Story?
Yes.
You've seen Finding Nemo?
Yes.
If one of those never existed, which one? No, I'm sorry. It was Toy Story, Shrek, Finding Nemo, Lion King.
Would get rid of Shrek.
That's what I said.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, was like, no, that's the one that she would keep.
Really?
And I think, I don't know, Shrek has a weird cult following. And I like it. It's good. But I don't know. Compared to those other three...
Oh,
I think those other three are just amazing.
Lion King is spectacular.
You can't touch that.
Great.
You can't touch it.
Great.
Toy
movie.
Story, that was the start
Agreed.
Of that whole Pixar thing, really.
And then Nemo is unbelievable.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, I would easily knock
That's
out Shrek.
That's what I said.
That.
Shrek was just, okay.
Yeah, gone. But the Inside Out, the first one, was fourth on that list. And then like Toy Story 3, also great.
But Inside Out 2 making $140 million?
$155.
Million. What? When's the last time something like that has made that much money?
I know.
Was it Oppenheimer, maybe?
Probably.
Or Barbie?
Well, Barbie probably beat it. Oppenheimer's probably right there with it.
Yeah.
But I would say that, usually the movie that's number one now makes like $30 million, which is nothing.
Well, because what was it? I think a week or so ago, Bad Boys, the fourth Bad Boys movie.
It made some
I thought Will Smith was done. Apparently
not.
That made over $100 million, too.
I was surprised. But maybe people are going back to the theater.
I think so, which I like. I like that, too.
I thought Will Smith was done, too.
I thought he was, dude. Like, I thought, who
I
knew?
I think he should be done.
He should be.
I am sick of him. His role, and when he slapped, the more I think about it, now it's been longer, the more I think about it, the more I hate it. You know, what he did in front of all those cameras, slapped this guy who didn't do a thing except
his job. Other than just the public perception.
Well, he's banned from the Oscars for 10 years. But who cares?
Exactly.
I mean, it's a slap on the wrist after he just slapped Chris Rock.
Assaulted a man on live television in front of a room full of people.
Chris Rock handled that beautifully.
Yeah.
Beautifully.
Absolutely.
And I am, I can't stand
Will Smith. And I thought he was going to be, like, I really thought there was never going to be a time where he was going to be back.
I did too.
He's back.
Well, you say he's back. I wonder. I am shocked at that. I will never see another Will Smith movie.
I don't think I will, unless it's just like, but yeah. No, you're right. But, I will never see another one either.
Didn't one come out last year that he had already made?
Oh, wasn't it like Emancipation? It was on like Apple Plus or something like that.
I'm not going to watch that. And I'm not going to watch Bad Boys 4.
Yeah.
I refuse to because of him.
I spent my Father's Day with, what'd you do on Father's Day? Did you do anything
fun? It was a very
nice
day. No, my wife asked, like, what treats do you want? None. No. Powered through it.
Okay.
I just said I wanted to play pickleball.
Yeah.
Which I did, which she allowed, which was really nice, and then watch the U.S. Open, which is exactly what I did. My kids gave me presents, which was really nice, you know. New shirt. My wife gave me some luggage that we're getting ready to go on vacation, which is very nice. New pickleball paddle.
Look at you.
Right.
Okay.
Very exciting.
How many you got now?
Oh, this is my fifth or sixth, I think. I like to keep one. You have to have one in reserve just in case one breaks during tournament play.
I gotcha.
And I have a tournament this week, so there's all that. And I watched all of the U.S. Open.
Nice.
And my wife was going to get cupcakes, which I haven't had in a long time. Mm-hmm. And the cupcake place where I like it was closed.
Thank God.
Right.
Thank God.
Maybe
that was
today.
A blessing right
but
there.
But she said maybe I'll get them the day after Father, which is they were recording.
So you were going to eat one? Or a couple.
I was going to sniff the icing and put my tongue in the middle of the icing and then throw it away.
Okay.
That what is what does our friend Chris Dim say that's called? Cake-a-lingus. That's all I do with them.
That's just a waste of a cupcake,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I just put my tongue in it, but I never actually have the whole thing.
Okay, all right.
Here's a food question. This is something I saw this on an opinion. Mm-hmm. It's like ask for advice column, you know?
Yeah.
See what you think about this. This is an am I the a-hole thing.
Okay. All right.
Am I the a-hole or is my wife the a-hole? We're in our mid-30s and childless. My brother just started dating a woman who has two kids, one of which is an 11-year-old girl who is extremely defiant and constantly doing things to get a reaction. The problem is her mom is in denial and basically lets her get away with everything. We're all together last weekend on vacation at a beach house, and this little 11-year-old terror refused to go play with the other kids at the pool, refused to do anything, and instead chose to constantly interrupt us adults as we were trying to have morning coffee. At one point, she kept swatting my wife with a fly swatter, saying there were flies on her when there were not. Finally, after knocking over my wife's fresh coffee and hitting my wife in the forehead with a fly swatter, my wife flung a freshly made iced coffee on the child, drenching her. Well, of course, my brother and his girlfriend freak out and leave, and some of the adults think my wife went way too far and ruined the family vacation. I told my brother his girlfriend needs to be a parent to her child, and my wife had every right to react. Not hot coffee, iced coffee.
Yes.
Am I the jerk for defending my wife?
Absolutely not. I think she was totally justified in doing that. I wish more people would do that to kids. That is so unnecessary for that child. Get that kid out of here. I would have done the exact same thing. That woman's my hero.
Went on for a long time, apparently.
I love that.
Right in the face.
I love that. She
right
was totally justified in doing that.
You know, 30
that.
Years ago, I wouldn't have blinked. Now it's like, you did that to the child.
But I mean, like, exactly. Like, bro, you need to get a hold of this little girl.
Get a hold of her.
She's hitting me in the forehead with a fly swatter.
Yeah.
She's lucky she didn't, like, physically attack her.
No kidding. And apparently the girlfriend would do nothing. The wife was like, now, come on, we don't do that. But she kept on doing it. You know how kids are.
Yeah.
You know, they're horrible. Some of them are horrible.
Yeah.
One time, years ago, when I was, I had little kids, and I was in Costco, but I was alone in the Costco. I was shopping, and I was taking my cart next to a woman who had two kids. Now, the woman was leaned over some books, looking at the books. Two kids were in the cart, and they were, like, slapping each other back and forth. I think the brother was slapping the sister. The mom didn't really see it, but I came up, and I don't even know why I did this. I put my finger in the kid's face, and I was like, we do not do that. We do not slap.
Yeah.
And the mom looked back at me and was like, excuse me.
But I'm like, if you ain't going to do nothing, I'm going to do something.
No, that's really not my place. I think I did it because I would do that to my son, who would sometimes hit his sister. They were probably like, you know, 7 and 4 at the time.
Yeah.
So I come along to similar age kids, and I'm just like, all right, keep your hands off her. And she's like, ugh, I'm their mother. And I was like, well, and I said what you said. Yeah. We'll do something about it.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. If you're not going to be a mother, let me be a mother.
I don't know. That's really not the place.
No,
though.
I think you're fine. I think that's, I wish more people would do that.
He says that his brother is not speaking to him now.
Oh, he needs, his brother needs to grow up.
Jeez.
His brother needs to stop being such a punk. He knew what the deal was.
I kind of like her too. That was like her style.
Absolutely.
Literally.
Yeah.
Ice cup, not hot.
No, I mean, obviously, that would have been a completely different situation. But that little girl should be all right.
Now she'll be triggered by coffee.
Absolutely.
Anytime she passes a Starbucks. She'll probably be 22. You know, a barista will freak
her out. And now, you know, in a year or so, the mother will turn around and be like, yeah, you knew you had that coming. Get over that.
I wonder. I mean, I'm a snowplow parent myself, a helicopter parent. She's like to the nth degree, it sounds like. Yeah. So,
and that's she got her attention, didn't she?
Well, she sure
did. She got her stop.
And that was it.
I love it. I love that.
Very interesting. Yeah. This is about parenting, too. Yeah. We do a top five every week
here.
Father's Day just passed. A lot of choices here. We decided to do top five TV dads.
Yeah, great idea. I love this one.
Yeah, well, right after Father's Day. Thank you.
Yeah.
You have a great idea for our next podcast as well. It pertains to the 4th of July. But the best five TV dads, who do you have at number five? I wondered where you would go with this, because I'm sure yours are newer than mine.
Well, not really, actually.
I think
you're going to appreciate a lot of mine.
Yeah.
Number five, Andy Taylor from the Andy Griffith Show.
He's my number one. He's my number one. You know how much I love Andy Griffith.
I think this says a lot about, not a lot of single dads in television.
Right.
And especially for that time, you don't see that a lot.
Do you know, I think I read this, the show was a lot about the comedy between Andy Griffith and Don Knotts.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, because I'm a huge fan. Mm. You a fan of the show?
I grew up watching it, yes. Yeah.
Everybody.
I'm not like well versed in it, but I know the story.
It's a really well done show. I mean, the humor, it really doesn't age. I mean, it ages beautifully because it's still really funny. Mm. Don Knotts as Barney Fife.
Yeah, that's just such an iconic character.
And Andy Griffith was such a perfect, you know, straight man leader of the show. He was absolutely perfect. But what I read was that the first episode of almost every season is very Opie involved, and like father-son relationship between Andy and Opie. The best one, in fact, that most people think is the best one is Opie the Birdman, where he, do you know this one? Opie gets a new slingshot, and Andy tells him, you've got to be real careful with the slingshot because you never know what could happen, blah, blah, blah. And he shoots a bird, and the bird dies, and Andy finds out about it, and Opie has to take the three little baby birds and raise them.
Oh, wow.
And at the end, on the very last scene, I mean, it's very funny and it's poignant. And the very last scene, he has to let them go. They're in the cage. And he has to let them go. And the last line, you ready? This is a good one. Heart-wrenching. He lets them all go. And you can hear the tweets. And they're standing on the front porch. And Opie says, cage looks awful empty, doesn't it, Pa? And Andy says, yes, it does, son. But don't the trees look nice and full?
Oh, my God.
Oh, AG.
Who's doing that?
Unbelievable.
Who's doing that today?
Unbelievable. Nobody.
You can't find that nowhere.
There's another one. You ever seen Mr. McBeavy where Opie meets a guy in the woods? Now, today it has a totally different context.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
These days, you would never. Opie's playing in the woods. There's a telephone man out there who works on the poles.
Yeah.
And so Opie tells Andy, because he keeps getting gifts from him, like a coin and a knife or an axe, all these things. Now you're like, predator.
Yeah.
So Opie gets these things, and he said, I've got my friend Mr. McBeavy. And Andy always doesn't believe him because he thinks it's fake. Because when Opie describes him, he's like, he's got extra hands, which meant his tool belt.
Yeah,
and
he
climbs the trees.
Yes,
And he's a silver hat, and Andy thinks it's fake. And so Andy goes up to whip him. He goes up into the room. He's like, I'm going to give him a spanking because he's lying to me. He won't admit it.
Yeah.
And so he goes up there and he's like, I need you to tell me Mr. McBeavy's not real. I'm going to give you a whipping. And Opie's like, no, he's real. He won't break. And Andy comes back downstairs and Aunt Bee and Barney are sitting there and said, did you whip him? And he's like, no. And Barney says, well, I guess you gave him a good talking to. And he goes, no, I told him I believed him. And, I'm going to tear up.
Wow.
The Barney says, you believe in Mr. McBeavy? And Andy goes, no, I believe in Opie.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I tried to parent like that and
completely failed.
That's
tough, man.
You can't
do it. You can only write stuff like that.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That line has always stuck with me. Because, Barney says, you believe in Mr. McBeavy? He goes, no, I believe in Opie.
Is he the best TV character of all time? Andy Griffith.
Yeah, I mean he's up there.
Yeah,
he's phenomenal.
What a dude! What a man!
He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Who's your number four?
All right. Who was your number five?
Oh, I'm sorry, Homer Simpson.
I love him, funny. It's just tough for funny.
Yeah, I can't really do the animated guys. I mean, they are kind of...
And I never watched... who's the American Dad or whatever?
Oh, the American Dad. Did you ever watch Family Guy either?
No, that's the one. Okay, everybody loves Family Guy.
Yeah, he was irresponsible. I'm not going to lie. So I couldn't put him on my list anyway.
Who do you have as four?
Number four for me, I don't know if you ever watched the show, Red Foreman from That 70s Show.
Oh, no. Oh, I did. He's great.
Yes.
I haven't seen much of the show. That guy's great.
Hard ass, like, you know, older guy, but at the same time, like... always let his kids' friends hang out at the house, always good to the kids' friends and stuff like that.
He's in Dead Poets Society.
Yes.
Awful father.
Was he?
Well, he's the one that won't let his son be in the play, and son winds up committing suicide. They're arguing the whole time. And when I was a kid and watched it, it was like, you're for the kid, for the kid, for the kid. Now I grew up and I'm like, the dad's right. He knows what he's doing. Yeah.
But yeah, no, he played that character perfectly.
I've heard.
Just the hard-o dad, but with a heart of gold as well. So
my number four is from Modern Family, Phil Dunphy.
Phil Dunphy.
I love him.
I've gone back and forth on whether or not I want to watch that show or not.
I've never seen
an episode. I hear it's incredible. I need to watch it.
I think the first three seasons are some of the best shows I've ever seen ever. After that, I think it drops off like a stone.
Because I've seen clips of it, and I know the comedy in it is great.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, so.
The first three seasons, unbelievably clever. And it's not just Phil Dunphy. His father-in-law, played by Ed O'Neill, is incredible. And they're, you know, they're two gay dads on the show. They're amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a phenomenal show. Yeah. And Phil's, I mean, I can't even say who's my favorite character.
Yeah.
As far as dads go, he's probably, you know, the other guy is also Ed O'Neill. But, I would watch the first three seasons and stop.
Okay.
I really would.
Well, that's fair.
It's hilarious.
Okay.
I mean, it's really great.
I'll have to give it a watch.
Who's your number three?
Maybe a little controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Walter White from Breaking Bad.
I think that is controversial.
Very controversial.
How can you call him a great dad? He is making meth.
But he's doing it for the family. which is kind of up for debate.
Well, in the final episode... because he said many times when he gets caught making meth to the wife, he says, I was doing it for the family. Finally, in the last episode, remember, he said, I was doing it for me.
Well, I like to believe that he did it for the family. He started doing it for the family.
He did.
He realized he was good at it.
Well, he's an amazing character.
He put his life on the line to make a better life for his family, even though he never really got to.
He never did it.
He bought a son a car.
He did.
Which was dope. But he had his family's intentions in mind. So I can't let that go. Because I don't know of anybody who would try to do something like that to better their family.
I can't agree with it because of the meth aspect of it. And he made so many other families' lives worse.
I'd sell meth for my family. I'd make meth for my family.
You'd make meth, but you're ruining others' lives. And you are, I mean, the money that he winds up giving up to his son. I mean, he has plans for Sunday. That's blood money. People are murdered for that.
So, I mean, all money's blood money.
All money is blood money.
Yeah.
God, what an interesting concept.
Yeah.
The money we make here?
Yeah, yeah.
Blood money.
No, I take that back. No, it's not.
That. I put Mike Brady total other end of the spectrum. Gay in real life, didn't matter.
I heard he was an a-hole in real life, wasn't he?
Like a-hole just and gay
in real life,
didn't matter.
Yeah.
The moment he kissed Florence Henderson on the first episode, I've read this many times, he kissed her, and of course he was closeted.
Yeah.
And she went over to the producers and she goes, he's gay.
No way.
And they were like, no. And she goes, yeah, he's nervous as he can be about kissing me. He's gay. I mean, it doesn't matter, but he's gay. And, you know, he's going to play the dad, but just let you know. I always heard he was an a-hole to everybody else, but not around the kids. He always, he thought he was above the comedy of the show.
That's
the Brady. And it was a terrible, you know, the comedy was, he was like a Broadway actor and so forth.
Yeah, Robert Reed played it.
But as a dad.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Oh,
I mean, like raising six kids.
Yeah, three of them not his own.
And a dog. Yeah, absolutely.
And did pretty well. And a cat early on, too.
I know.
They got rid of her.
And then whatever homeboy's Oliver later on.
Awful.
Yeah, terrible audition.
Yeah,
should have
really kicked him off out of the family. That's his only mistake.
Send him up the way.
Who's your number two?
Philip Banks, Uncle Phil from The Fresh Prince.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Beacon of the community.
Yeah.
He was. Self-made man, invited his own nephew into the house to raise with his own kids and made them all great. Got his kids into Princeton. Yeah.
I wouldn't invite my nephew in the house.
Exactly.
Especially when he's from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
In a bunch of trouble.
You know, running the streets, brought him in, turned him into a good man.
That's when I liked Will Smith. That's when I really liked.
Yeah.
That and the days with Tommy Lee Jones on
Men in Black.
Men in Black. Yeah. That's when I liked him. Yeah.
Yeah.
My number two is controversial, and I'll say it. Heathcliff Huxtable, played by Bill Cosby.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I thought
about
the
man. I'm talking about the character. Phenomenal.
You can't really dispute the fact that he was a good father in the show.
Amazing.
Doctor.
Amazing.
Yes.
And wrote it from his comedy.
Yeah.
And it was a different usually, honestly, black people were, until that time, portrayed as like, oh, we're poor, we're in the ghetto, whatever. He was like, no, I'm a successful doctor. My wife's a lawyer.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
Yes.
And he did a great job for a few years. Now, by the end, it got stunt kids were on there.
And I watched it for a little bit. I'm not super, it's kind of like with Andy Griffith's show. Like, they're kind of exist in the same realm for me.
Really funny.
Like, I've seen episodes, but, you know.
First few seasons.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. I'd probably recommend the same. Watch the first three seasons and then let it go.
Yeah.
But really good. But I'm interested to see your number one.
Danny Tanner from Full House.
Awful.
Terrible.
I don't know. I've never seen the show.
I mean, another single dad, but he had help with the Joey Gladstone and Jesse Katsopoulos. Raised three daughters, lived in San Francisco with three other guys. And I don't know. I just think that he was just like always a life lesson in the show. Yep. Always took time to be with his kids. Hardworking dude.
Played by... he's now blanking on his name.
Bob Saget.
Bob Saget, who died mysteriously, like in the hotel.
Yeah,
so
that
odd.
Was weird.
You know, the thing about Dave Coulier, who plays Gladstone. Mm-hmm. What's his first name? Dave on the show?
Joey. Joey Gladstone.
So he's Joey Gladstone. And I just read recently, he got to pick his last name. And you're going to be Joey. Come up with a last name.
Yeah.
And he chose Gladstone as a little drug reference. Like, I'm glad I'm stoned.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, he's like, I couldn't believe they let me do it. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And he called it Gladstone. He thought everybody kind of was in on the joke, and nobody was.
Yeah, that's kind of a reach.
Yeah, big
time.
I'm
not going to lie.
Yeah,
so.
Totally. You know, of course, you know about the Alanis Morissette song.
That whole deal, too, which is still bugs me out. I had no clue about all that.
I went down on you in the theater.
Yes.
Interesting.
I'm imagining hearing that going.
I know. And the thing about Bob Saget was his comedy was so dirty.
Well, see, and that's the wild thing is, like, I obviously knew him as Danny Tanner before I knew him as anything else.
Yeah.
And then, like, I see his comedy, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
this is a completely different
dude.
Yes.
Different. Exactly.
Which I like the juxtaposition there.
Yeah.
The ability to play a straight man like that.
I liked him more and more as time went by.
Yeah. And then, like, America's Funniest Videos as well.
And from what I hear, he was a wonderful guy.
Yeah. That's what
Saget.
I hear too.
I mean, and they all love him. They love all that cast absolutely loves him.
Yeah.
I hate he died so young.
I know. That was unfortunate. So.
And it was in a hotel room by himself.
A lot of weird things surrounding his death.
They think he just, fell and hit his head.
That's what they think.
And did not realize it was as bad as it was, went to sleep and died.
Yeah.
That is really tragic.
Yeah.
I guess the moral there is if you hit your head, get it looked at.
That's what happened to Liam Neeson's wife, right?
And Natasha Richardson.
Yeah. Yeah.
She had a fall on a ski slope. She said, I'm fine, I'm fine. Yeah. They call it talk and die. She was, for 24 hours, she was all right, and then she died.
Yeah.
You know, her brain was slowly bleeding.
Yeah.
That was a great list.
Danny Tanner, number one.
Yeah, yes. I'm okay with it. I never watched it. I was too old.
I got
old.
You. Yeah.
But it's, my daughter absolutely loves it. She
great
loves
show.
Danny Tanner.
Yeah.
But she likes Stamos.
Okay,
know,
fair.
Of course.
Yeah.
You like him,
which
too?
Which he's on tour with the Beach Boys right now.
That's
which
right.
is very bizarre
that
to me.
Weird. But he's good, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Great square in the round.
Loved it.
Loved it, too. That's nice. Next week, we're all about the 4th of July.
That's right.
Another edition of the square and the round. Thank you.